Well, when we spoke with Malala Yousafzain and her father Ziauddin last October, it was before a packed house at a JFK library event here in Boston. And the day after, she didn't win last year's Nobel for her campaign for girls' education, the thing the Taliban had tried to kill her for. There was much speculation that she would win. She did, however, get to meet President Obama.
When I met President Obama, I told him that instead of sending guns and tanks and soldiers to Afghanistan, why don't you send books and pens and teachers? And I told him that this is the best way to fight terrorism.
We sat down in the huge auditorium for a lengthy conversation with Malala. Here are some excerpts.
What a whirlwind of a week. All that speculation that you were going to win the Nobel Peace Prize. But I'm betting the most important thing that happened for you this week was that you got to meet America Ferrera.
Oh, yes.
Explain why the star of the TV program Ugly Betty was so important to you.
First of all, she's not Ugly Betty, she's Pretty Betty.
Pretty Betty.
We were in terrorism every day. We used to hear that every day a school is blasted, and we were living in a very hard situation. We wanted to just see another world. And by looking to Ugly Betty, we were thinking that, oh, this is a dream world. These people are worried about fashion, the color of lipstick. And if I look at my area, Swat, we don't even care about lipstick and these things. We want peace in our valley. At that time, we were living in Swat. I was going to school daily. And I was not realizing how important education is. It was a normal part of life. But in 2007, the terrorism started. The Taliban, the terrorists, they stopped us from going to school. In 2009, in the month of January, they announced on radio that after the 15th of January 2009, if a girl goes to school, then you know what we can do. They also flogged women, they slaughtered people. At that time, I did not want to live. We said that we are going to die one day. And also, these Taliban are not going to leave us. So let us speak up for our rights. Let's struggle for our rights. Let us struggle for peace and then die.
I'll ask the men who are here to stand with girls to abolish this discrimination. Mm-hmm. And I will ask the men to raise up their hands who want to join this movement. Men, only men, not women. Thank you very much.
We had a wide-ranging conversation, everything from her favorite book, The Alchemist, to why she couldn't bear to watch the movie Bend It Like Beckham. It turns out the girl soccer players in the film play in sports bras. She couldn't bear to look. Malala, a Muslim who's seen as a radical by many of her countrymen, is still somewhat shy and conservative on other issues.
Yeah, it is hard for me. I can't look at even women when they are in shorts. I take care because I come from a society. I cannot imagine it, that's why.
Malala sat next to her father, Ziauddin, her inspiration, long a passionate advocate of schools for girls. He and his wife built them. He tried to organize neighbors against the Taliban, which tried to close them. We asked Malala what it was like to grow up in them.
When I was a child, when I couldn't even speak, and my mother used to take me to the classroom, and my mother says, like, you just used to deliver a speech or give a lecture to the empty chairs, into the empty classroom. I loved my school because I was learning there. I was learning about equality, that all the girls who are sitting on the same benches are equal.
But there is a point where you become afraid. Getting up at night after everyone's asleep to make sure the doors are locked.
Yes, I think every human, if he's a human, he must get afraid. But the thing was that our courage was powerful than our fear, and courage won. And my father was supporting the cause of education, and he was an inspiration for me because he spoke the truth. And my mother, she's the one who told us that tell the truth. My mother was pushing my father.
Actually.
Oh.
After she was shot, she was airlifted to a hospital in England. It would be weeks before she realized she'd become an international sensation. People from around the world sending letters to her.
Like they used to write on the envelopes, the girl who was shot. And I received those cards. And I'm really thankful to people for their encouragement, for their support. Because you're not only supporting me, You're supporting the cause of girls' education. And I'm not asking for any support for myself. Whether I'm short or not, it does not matter. I want support for my cause of education, for my cause of peace. And I don't know what the Taliban would invent instead of stethoscope, what they would invent instead of thermometer. We must not connect education in school system to the religion. I think we must not be afraid of death. And I'm not afraid of death because I have seen death once in my life. Before that incident, I was. And if I die early, it does not matter. I will continue my campaign and I'm going back to Pakistan as soon as possible. And I want to be a politician. I'm going to serve my nation. I'm going to serve Pakistan. And I'm going to work for education of every child.
We leave you with one last thought from Malala on how her self-image has changed since her early teens when she thought she was way too small for big things.
Now when I look at my height, God has given me, I was asking him only for 2-3 inches and he just made me as high as the sky. Mm. And now I'm that much high that I can reach people. And I now, because of my cause, and I can now, I'm like reaching you is the greatest height, is the greatest height.
Mm. Our visit with Malala Yousafzain and her father Ziauddin at a book event last October will post the full story at hereandnow.org. Today it was announced Malala and child labor activist Kailash Satyarthi will share the Nobel Peace Prize.